This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
So we just got done with a crazy hockey game before the show started. One that Canada found a way to win 4-3 in overtime. However, Sidney Crosby left Canada's Olympic quarterfinal game in the second period with a lower body injury and was ruled out. Had kind of a big hit and a check after a check from I think Martin Natchez was involved in that. And then Crosby acted like he was going to kind of get up, took a stride, then shook his leg, and then went down. Hockey Canada said during the third period that Crosby would not return to the game. That's he's Canada's oldest and most accomplished player. He's one of the greats in the NHL. But we'll see how that one unfolds, if he'll be able to go. Now Canada awaits either, it's Slovakia's in at number three. They're in as they beat Germany 6-2. And then Canada is in after their overtime win. Team USA and Sweden are going at it at 1:10 this afternoon. So if they win, if Team USA wins, they'll play Slovakia. And if Sweden wins, they'll play Canada. And then Finland and Switzerland play later. So, man, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough one coming up this afternoon. And we'll put it on in the background. We'll get a chance to watch it. Did you see this story? So UCLA suffered its second straight 20-point defeat Tuesday night at number 15, Michigan State. Bruins coach Mike Cronin ejected one of his own players. Bruins were trailing 77-50. Michael, and if I send this to you, do you think you could get it? Because this is a wild thing. I'll send it to you via email. It totally had the Wedding Crashers vibe at the beginning of the movie when Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson are talking to the divorce. Dwight Yoakam was in that, believe it or not. And he's arguing with his ex-wife about who's going to get the plane miles and all that stuff. And they get in a fight, and she looks at him and says, "You shut your mouth when you're talking to me." That was definitely this moment last night. So Mike Cronin apparently ejected one of his own players. UCLA center Stephen Jamerson II, who was a former Michigan State student, was called for a flagrant for fouling Carson Cooper from behind on a dunk attempt. Cronin then sent Jamerson to the locker room. He explained after the game, "You know, true toughness is how you compete and how you go to work every day. Steve's a good kid. He made a bad decision. But if you want to be a tough guy, you need to do it during the game for a blockout, for a rebound. So I was thoroughly disappointed. The guy was defenseless in the air. I know Steve was trying to block the shot, but the game's a 25-point game. You don't do that." Wait. So you just said it, though. You just said it. You want him to be a tough guy by trying to block out a rebound, but you can't try to go block the shot? Said, "I know Steve was trying to block the shot, but it's a 25-point game." So would you be happier if he just said, "Screw it, I'm done. I'm not going to." No, I didn't see the play in question, so maybe somebody did. It was weird, man. Tom Izzo at the end of the game for Michigan State joked, well, I guess he was upgraded to a flagrant two, huh? That's the first time I saw a coach do it. But that sounds like Mick. So he'll get that straightened out. That was... And then his response to that was really bizarre. You know, really just fighting with the reporters. And if Michael could get it, we'll play it for you. But he was clearly frustrated. I mean, I don't know. There's a couple of curses in there, too. So Michael's going to have to work double hard there. He had a fiery post-game exchange with a reporter. This is, have you guys ever seen that before? Where a coach actually just says, screw it, I'm not going to wait for them to evaluate the foul and look and see how bad it was. I'm just going to take matters into my own hands and eject the guy completely. And then the response after the game was like, you want to be a tough guy? But if you want to be a tough guy, you need to do it during the game for a blockout, for a rebound. So I was thoroughly disappointed. The guy was defenseless in the air. I know Steve was trying to block the shot, but the game's a 25-point game. You don't do that. I think I'd feel worse if my guy wasn't trying. Now, I'm not saying it's a good look to go and take a ridiculous foul. If he's in the air, okay, but I mean, he's still trying, I guess. Now, without watching that full game, I couldn't tell you exactly how it looked, but here is UCLA's head coach, Mike Cronin, to the reporter in this exchange. It's wild. Listen to it.
What was your thought in the student section chanting Booker's name?
I could give a rat's ass about the other team's student section.
I just meant the overall, the way that you...
I would like to give you a kudos for the worst question I've ever been asked.
Did you like the preparation of the...
You really think I care about the other
team? I don't think you care about the other
team. Are you raising your voice at me?
No, I'm just...
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Come on, dude.
No reason.
Come on. Yes, you were. Everybody's standing here listening to you. Everybody. This is on camera. They can hear you. I answered the question. I could give a rat's ass about the other team's student section. I coach UCLA. I don't care about Michigan State students. I mean, who cares?
This is the worst question in the world. I mean, I could see a coach being annoyed by that.
I would ask him that same question.
Why?
I mean, that's kind of controversial.
Well, Michigan State fans chanted the name of Bruins center Xavier Booker, a former five-star recruit who signed with Michigan State before transferring to UCLA in April. So that's why it's an odd, you know, he was going to go with Michigan State, but then he transferred to UCLA in April. So you can see why Michigan State fans, the student section chanting. So it's not just about the student section, Mike. It's about, hey, this was a guy that was committed to our team, and then he decided to leave and transfer to UCLA. I don't think it's the stupidest question in the world.
No, I don't.
If it were just a team chanting and messing with a random player, then it might be a little odd to ask the question. But there's substance behind it, man.
Yeah, it's a legit question. The coach has an ego problem.
They all freaking do, man. So most of them do, I should say. Like I can't imagine Smiley or Ali like snapping like that. But these guys get older and then they get pissier and then they have to field questions all the time. Let's listen to him again. When he looks at him and says, "Did you raise your voice at me? You tell me if this reporter's raising his voice."
What was your thought in the student section chanting Booker's name?
I could give a rat's ass about the other team's student section.
I just meant the overall, the way that you...
I would like to give you a kudos for the worst question I've ever been asked.
Did you like the preparation of the...
Do you really think I care about the other
team's student section? No, I don't think you care about the other
team. Are you raising your voice at me?
No, I'm just...
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Come on, dude.
No reason.
Come on. Yes, you were. Everybody's standing here listening to you. Everybody. This is on camera. They can hear you. I answered the question. I could give a rat's ass about the other team's student section. I coach UCLA. I don't care about Michigan State students. I mean, who cares?
Well, you clearly care a little bit because it really pissed you off. And, dude, that reporter was not yelling at all. That reporter was, like, almost stunned. He was kind of doing that nervous laugh, and he goes, I'll take it. Like, he's like, I'd like to give you an award for the worst question I've ever been asked. And the reporter kind of laughs and says, I'll take it. And the coach says, you should. And then he goes back to him. Another reporter's trying to ask a question, Mike. And then Cronin goes back to him and says, you really think I would care about their student section? Doth protest too much, I think. Methinks, Mike. And then the guy says, no, I'm just asking. Are you raising your voice at me? I don't know how reporters keep their cool. I don't give a rat's ass who the coach is, man. If I'm Sean Keeler, I don't know how I keep my cool. If I'm this random reporter here, I don't know how I keep my cool. These are people, man. That coach across from you puts his pants on the same way you do, bro. Maybe he has his butler do it. I don't know. But it's almost cussed, man. It's basketball. It's college basketball. And some of these people act like they're just so above the people that make a living highlighting them, telling their stories, good, bad, and ugly, promoting their school through their outlet, their paper, their radio show, their TV show, their podcast, their Twitters. And you ask a question like, now I know he's pissed off. He just had to kick his own player out. It's your own fault, man. I'm telling you, man. I don't know how beat writers do it. Like, I get to sit in here and do a 3-hour radio show. I used to go to a lot more press conferences, and I still do. And I haven't really been. I've seen the Adazio flip out. I haven't really been to many press conferences where coaches were just absolutely terrible or just had one of those flip out moments. Adazio had that. That was the hanging the head question. This is a totally innocent question by Kevin Lytle. It was a, hey, are you worried after this 4 millionth loss in a row that guys are kind of hanging their head? And then Adazio just lost it. They get so damn sensitive, man. But I don't know. I thought that was, when I heard him and when I heard him say, did you just raise your voice at me? I was stunned. I was stunned by that. Now, UCLA is pretty good basketball team. You know, a lot of times you hear coaches get really defensive when that kind of stuff happens. And then that's when you maybe know that maybe the end is near for a coach like that. But I don't think so. You just had a bad night. Faith, you as a coach know that dealing with media is part of the job. And yes, I do feel timing of questions sometimes are insensitive and annoying, but they are just doing their jobs, just like coaches are doing theirs. Answer or don't answer, but being rude or demeaning is uncalled for. That's the thing, man. Can you not, if you didn't care about it, you'd be like, I didn't even notice. Or, you know, fans can get crazy. Clearly he cared about it. And then instead his response is, that was the worst question I've ever been asked before. Really? Faith says, Brady, you cuss? You seem so chill. I don't cuss a lot, but when things really start to bother me, I have a hard time, like on the show sometimes, because I say a lot of words. And that stuff bothers me. Because, Michael, I've been in rooms with coaches before, and I really respect the ones that treat you with respect. So when I see coaches, and I get it, if there's crappy questions out there, there are crappy questions. I know that.
Super Bowl week questions.
Yeah, I get that, man. Like, I remember watching a viral video of a tennis at the end of a tennis match. And the reporter was late and just got there. Do you remember that video? Did you ever see it? And he goes to the tennis player and he sits down and he goes, congratulations. And the player's like, congratulations. I lost. The reporter's like, well, what went on there? What happened? Which is also so bad, it's good. But I think the player's like, are you for real? Like, if that player had every right to lose his crap, like, that's your job, and you just embarrassed me. Because you just said you didn't even watch the match, and you're covering me, and you didn't even watch it. It's like showing up to the post game conference, but you didn't go to the game. You were out at the bars, or you were out going to the library or something. And you're like, oh crap, game's about over. I better go over there. And then you start up asking questions. First off, if you do that for some weird reason, you don't get to ask a question. You should just mentally shut yourself down. You don't ask a question.
Well, if you end up asking a question, you ask one that dumb. If I'm the tennis player, I'm going, oh, what was your favorite part of the match? Tell me.
Well,
detailed.
He didn't need to because he already said congratulations. And the guy goes, I lost. He doesn't need to grill him anymore. He knows, dude. He knows the story's out. He didn't watch.
Oh, I wouldn't have said I lost. I would have flat out said, oh, thanks. What's your favorite part of the match to prove that he didn't watch?
It's adorable. You think you'd say that, but I think in that moment, tennis players, like, I've been through these 1 million times, and I've never had that happen to me before. So he's probably like, what the hell is this? I don't think he was thinking of a good quip that he could fire back at a reporter. He was probably so stunned. But this is bogus. 21 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. There is a very strong candidate here in Greeley that could get Big Sky Conference Player of the Year. It's Quinn Danker. But that record is going to have a lot to do with the standings here. And we'll go through some of those stats coming up here in just a moment. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Plan, and I can only look up so many stories and so many things we want to talk about, and then trying to follow the local scene too. Big Hub, and I always say, like, Hooligans, you can drive this show. You want to drive this show? You have a topic that you want my thoughts on, or for some weird reason you want Michael's thoughts on. Big Hub said, did you see the IMG Academy news? And I did not see this story. I just pulled it up during the break. Florida's IMG Academy fined $1.7 million for accepting fees linked to Mexican drug cartel. Yeah. IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida has reportedly been fined close to $2 million for accepting tuition fees linked to drug cartels. The U.S. Department of the Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control, the OFAC, announced on Thursday, February 12th, that IMG Academy will be fined $1.72 million for accepting tuition fees for two students whose parents are linked to Mexican drug cartels. Well, Mike, this is why you got to do the Walter White thing. You take all the money out, you give it to somebody else, and you have them donate it in your name or something. If these guys would have watched Breaking Bad, these kids would be – everybody would be fine. Sorry, I'm not trying to make light of it, but it's a weird story, bro.
It looks like a quarter of the students of IMG Academy are international students. So, wow. And two of them are related to the cartel.
Uh-huh. Over five consecutive years, IMG Academy repeatedly transacted with two individuals whom OFAC sanctioned based upon their ties to a sanctioned Mexican-based drug cartel, the release reads. According to the report, they continued tuition transactions for the two students, racked up 89 violations of counter-narcotic sanctions. As a result of IMG Academy's conduct, designated individuals who provided financial support and services to a sanctioned Mexican drug cartel were able to conduct commerce with U.S. persons and gain access to the U.S. financial system. Dude, that is wild. So the two students in question that were enrolled at the sports at the school high school between 2018 and 2022. The release and reports do not share the students' information or what sport they played. However, tuition amount was disclosed, which was between $97,000 to $102,000 per academic year. My goodness, man. And it's apparently it's like a powerhouse of a football program. It's like one of the most well-known prep academies in the country.
Not anymore.
Well, it'll be even more known because we're talking about it.
I mean, if I'm a parent and I want to send my kid there and I'm like, oh, they have links to the Mexican cartels, you know what? Maybe so, I don't want to go.
So basically, the two students in question here, their tuition was paid by parents who are linked to Mexican drug cartels. So basically, these parents are getting money from Mexican drug cartels, right? Is that how we're understanding this?
And what it looks like.
And they use that money to pay for the kids' tuition. That's why I'm saying you Walter White this thing, Mike. You put all of your money in a storage shed, in a brick. You stack it up like a block of Legos. And you go to rich friends and say, you're rich anyway. I'm giving you this money. And you donate it to my kid.
It was a very satisfying final episode.
And that was a very smart thing to do. By the way, don't commit crime. It does not pay. I mean, it does. But there's a risk.
It only truly pays in TV shows.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Eventually, you're going to get caught.
Doesn't typically work like that. Speaking of TV shows, Mike, I watched the last episode of Night of the Seven Kingdoms. What is it?
Night of the Seven Kingdoms. I still haven't seen it.
Dude, good show. It went from this last episode was the fifth highest rated episode in the whole Game of Thrones franchise.
Is this where they fight for?
Yeah.
Because they haven't done a lot of fighting. It was like one guy that died.
So half the episode was fighting. The other half was a flashback. But the fighting in this, dude, it is freaking raw, man. Like, this isn't like, what is it, the Viper and the Mountain when they fought? And they were.
It's not like dancing.
He's dancing around. And dude, they're like pulling knives out. They're gouging each other, sticking each other's eyes out. And beating each other with the shields. Like it looked like how I envisioned like a, because, you know, Hollywood likes to make those medieval fight scenes like of Jon Snow holding his sword up like a baseball bat. And then he just slices through them. This was freaking good. The fight scene was the best. Maybe the best fight scene. Now, it was uncomfortable as hell because they were just, I don't know how they were alive, but it was uncomfortable, but it was so good because it seemed so real. That was the most realistic fight scene I've ever seen. And I've seen, and that's my style of show. I've seen a lot of those. It's the best one I've ever seen.
Have you ever watched those, you know, medieval experts or sword experts review shows and go, yeah, that's not how that sword works, or... You know, if you hit two katanas at the same time, you're going to break both swords.
Yeah, I've seen what's the show on the History Channel where they make weapons? And then they use them to. There's one show where they make them forged in fire, and then there's another show where they actually use the weapons forged and they slice through different what do you call it? Little things they have to run through, courses. And this was like, this was, as far as I could tell, man, that's how I envision it being. Just nasty. You don't know if you're gonna live. Like, he's throwing up right, I'm giving stuff away, but he's throwing up right before the fight starts because he's never been in a fight like this. He's terrified. He can't even get his horse to go at first. I mean, dude, this is good. You need to watch this. I didn't give much away.
I figured you didn't.
You don't know who wins.
You're not like... Over there.
Yeah.
That guy over there.
It's a good show.
I'm not going to tell whose office I'm pointing at, but that guy kind of gave away everything to Infinity War.
He spoiled the Avengers movie for me.
I tried to save it. I tried to save it by lying, but you know I'm a terrible liar, so you saw all the way through.
Because it was during COVID, wasn't it? No.
No, it was before COVID. Well, weren't able to see it because, you know, you were a new father.
I was going through all of them, though. I went through a stage where I was like, I'm going to watch all of them in order. And I'm going to get to the final Avengers movie. I'm going to lead up to that. And I was like 80, 90% of the way through, and Tanner spilled the beans.
Yeah, he did.
He spilled the beans.
I told him not to.
Well, he spilled the beans. But he, you know, it's my own fault, because if you get on social media, they're going to spill the beans anyway. Like, everybody's already telling you what happened.
Like, they'll spill the beans a week before, because a lot of times it'll come out in theaters across the world before it comes out in America, which I find to be annoying.
You should watch it, though. I think you should give it a shot. Now they'll screw it up. Eventually, they'll screw it up.
They will.
I guess George R.R. Martin, the author, did not have a great relationship with the creators of the last one that they did. The Dragon Wars
House
or whatever.
Of the Dragon.
Yeah, because I hear that one's not good.
It's pretty good, but it's got some weaknesses.
Well, he apparently doesn't. He didn't have a good relationship with them. With this group.
Yeah, one of the writers left.
And now he's like, the bat, and I watched this whole thing on it like last night. I was bored. And apparently, like, he's really depressed right now because he can't finish Game of Thrones. Now, it sounds like with the ratings of this one, they're going to want more books from that. And he's like, I got to get to that. But if I don't get to that, the same thing's going to happen to that series as it happened to Game of Thrones. Because he still hasn't finished Game of Thrones, even though they finished the TV series.
Well, I've said this before. There are people that he has worked with who know who are like writers, who know the ending of the story. So if he passes away, they can finish it for him.
Yeah, well, this one's good. You should watch it. Faith says, fell off watching the Marvel TV series because they started being blah, 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 but Wonder Man?
I got halfway through Wonder Man.
I didn't know what that is. What is Wonder Man?
Wonder Man, he's a guy who has like superpowers triggered by his temper or something.
Like the Hulk.
And he's trying to be an actor.
She says, highly recommended if you're into Marvel. See, I got out of Marvel. I tried, man. I loved it. I loved those movies. Even though not all the movies were great, I loved the tie-in and the connecting of the stories and the Avengers lead up. That was great. And then after that, couldn't do it.
If you want something that like it's different than Marvel and Game of Thrones, that's really interesting that George R.R. Martin produces, it's called Dark Winds, and it's on AMC Plus, but you can get the first three seasons on Netflix now. Very, very good. Robert Redford's also a producer on it. It's a fantastic show, 8 episodes each.
Didn't Robert Redford die?
Sorry, what?
Didn't Robert Redford die?
I'm not sure. He was in the first episode of season 3.
Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong.
He was playing chess with George R.R. Martin. But Dark Winds, I highly recommend it. One of my favorite shows.
He did. He died. He died last September. In September. Sorry to break that to you, Mike. Didn't want to have to be the guy to break that to you.
I probably heard about it and forgot it.
Oh, it was in September. That happens. That, yeah, so I don't know. I can't really do the whole Marvel thing. 38 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Quinn Danker. Can he realistically win the Big Sky Conference Player of the Year? Who stands in front of him? This guy is putting up ridiculous numbers. Bears fans, where does he rank? He's got to rank up there as one of the top Bears players of all time, or at least having one of the best seasons of any Bears. When you add it all up, not just the scoring, but his assists and rebounding as a point guard, he is a phenomenal find for Steve Smiley and his crew. 39 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
So Quinn Danker was named Big Sky Conference Player of the Week again, Michael. I mean, the dude just keeps doing it. Oh, I mean, week in and week out, he's the guy. Another Big Sky honor for Quinn Danker. This is the fifth time this season that he's done this. He averaged 22.5 points in two home games last week against Sacramento State and Portland State. Portland State, by the way, the number one team in the Big Sky. He scored 45 total points in the two games while shooting 57% from the floor. He had 23 total assists. He had 16 in one game. I think that's a record. That's a record for a Bear. The two guys in front of him, you got Terry Miller Jr., Portland State's Terry Miller Jr., and then Montana's Money Williams. I mean, it's gonna be tough for him to win it. It comes down to the records, because you've seen really good players shine, but if they're middle of the road or worse in the conference, then you probably go with the Portland State guy or the Montana guy, because Portland State's ranked number one. That probably won't change there's four games remaining, so it could change. Montana, is 8-5 in the conference. So their two guys, Money Williams and Terry Miller Jr., probably have a good shot to get it. But Quinn Danker, the Bears are ranked fifth right now in the conference. They're right behind Eastern Washington. They just beat Eastern Washington, and they beat them two weeks ago. They play Eastern Washington again on February 26th. But first things first, they got to take care of Northern Arizona on Saturday and keep rolling, because they've now won six in a row. To bring their record, they were 1-7 to start the Big Sky Conference slate, and now they won six in a row, and they're 7-7, and that moved them way out of the basement. So as of right now, they get that first round bye. The bottom four teams have to play four games, potentially could play four games if they want to win the whole thing. So man, it's exciting, and Quinn's numbers, like what he's done this season. He's averaging 18.6 points per game, 5 rebounds per game as a point guard, and 7.4 assists per game. And you look at Terry Miller, who's averaging almost 6 boards per game, and on the rebounds, he's at 5.9. He's at 5.9 rebounds per game. And I mean, Quinn as a point guard, though, is at 5.2. So, and with the assist number, 7.4 assists per game, it's going to be close. And when you win a ton of those Big Sky awards, you know, it makes it seem like it's more realistic that he could do this. It's exciting. He's a hell of a player. Transfer from Idaho, was started sometimes and was not really, you know, a go-to player like he's become now. He played 1 year at Idaho. I take that back. He started most of the games at Idaho. He averaged 12 points per game, 3.7 assists per game, 3 rebounds per game. All of those numbers are up this year. And last year, keep in mind, he transferred to UNC to be a backup point guard to Jaron Riley. Now, that's not what his role was. He was a leadership role. He played a lot. He averaged 21.7 minutes per game last year, but this year he's averaging 34. So it's certainly a big difference. But he knew that. Coming to UNC, he knew he wasn't going to be the starting point guard for the Bears. And he didn't know he was going to be able to come back for another season. He was on this show, Mike, when he told us he found out that he had one more year of eligibility because of his JUCO days. And he's like, wow. He calls Smiley up and he's like, this is a gift. And he's been one of the best players, if not the best player, in the conference this year. It's awesome to see it. And it's awesome to see this Bears team rolling. They don't play tomorrow night, but they will play against Northern Arizona the rest of the way for the Bears. Four games remaining. Northern Arizona, they should beat them. Now, they lost to them early. And that was when they were in their terrible run. I don't think they knew who they were. It was after the Northern Arizona game. They got together and had their players-only meeting where they kind of just aired out frustrations. So I have to imagine this team wins against Northern Arizona. Then they play Eastern Washington, who they just beat, 74-71, a close game. That could be tight. So, yeah, the Bears are cooking, man. And then they wrap up the season at Idaho. And then they'll play Montana on March 2nd. 12:49 the time. We'll take a short break, wrap it up here on hour number two. Coming up in the final hour of the show, Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. Let's talk some Doug Moe, a legendary coach. We'll be right back.
All year, you heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
With the passing of Doug Moe, you reflect on the greatness factor, and then my mind just starts to go, man, where does Doug Moe rank and the greats in this wonderful state that we live in the state of Colorado, as far as the great coaches of all time? And then you automatically, it's always a timely time. It's always a great time to do this, the Mount Rushmore. And I'm thinking, like, who is on the Mount Rushmore of Denver head coaches? Is Doug Moe on that list, or is he even is he even number one on the Nuggets list? Because Michael Malone has the title. Michael Malone has the title. George Karl was the playoffs a lot. Doug Moe, where are some of the Avs coaches? Because there's three coaches with three Stanley Cups. And then there's a couple of good ones for the Broncos. And the Rockies are still a team. 12:55 the time. We'll take a short break. Buy or sell coming up. Sean Keeler will join us. We'll get more into the Mount Rushmore thing, too, coming up next. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.